Book of Matthew, chapter 5. Reading verses 1 to 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the kingdom of, they shall inherit the earth. Yesterday we have seen that the introduction of this chapter, after the Lord was baptized, then Andrew and Philip, Peter, Nathanael, these initially, the first set of disciples came after him. Then we see immediately after that, the Lord started proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is at hand in Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. And in the end of the chapter, we also see that he was visiting few places and healing the poor, healing the sick, and helping the needy people. And he was also casting out the diverse demons which were taken hold of the people's lives. Then when he came here and from to the mount, then he started speaking to his disciples, because the multitudes were interested to see the miracles, healing, and to just to hear him. But very few are actually, we see in the groups, are interested to follow the Lord. So the disciples came to him in the mount, and he started speaking with him. These three chapters, 5, 6, 7, are also called the Sermon on the Mount. And we can also say this is the constitution of the kingdom of heaven, or the heart and the nature and the principles of the heavenly life which should operate in the people's life. And based on that one, he said in verse 3, we have seen, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for this is the kingdom of heaven. So not only he has brought the kingdom along with him, and he moved wherever he is, as we read in book of John's Gospel chapter 1. Book of John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. And the word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us, or actually, or proper translation may be tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So, in his life, that not only he brought the kingdom of heaven down along with him and was with him, and he tabernacled. That means he moved from place to place. And we see that in Galilee, that is the northern part of the kingdom, Judea, that is the southern part of the kingdom. Then he traversed his path many times between these two places, north to south. And whenever and wherever he went, then he also has taken the kingdom. Because he tabernacled, he did not stay in one place. He moved. So when he moved, and he has moved that heavenly operators along with him. That is what, as a king, that he had that privilege and he did that. But as a son of man, what he also did was, and when he has manifested here, we see, we beheld his glory. The glory of the, as of the only begotten of the Father. So he manifested the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Then he explained what was that glory. John was explaining, it is full of grace and truth. So in the Old Testament, that was a different principle. So it was eye for eye, tooth for tooth. And everything is a different kind of a recompensation. But here, when he brought the kingdom along with him from heavens, he also manifested the character by which a man can enter into that kingdom. So it is two things he said. It is full of grace and truth. And he lived in his entire life that based on those two principles. And whenever we taste the grace of God and experience the truth of God working in our life, so we are touching in a measure the glory of God. And when he has before started preaching the kingdom on the Sermon on the Mount, we have seen yesterday in the chapter 4 of Matthew, the last portion, few verses, he has healed the people, cast out the demons, and he made whole many people. And that was because the manifestation of the act of grace. Because when he came, he was full of the grace and the glory, and part of that one is the manifestation of grace through him. And while doing so, that he also called out his disciples and started teaching what kind of life it would be or it need be for the kingdom, and comprising of manifestation of that grace and also the truth. And one of the things now yesterday we have seen was that is the spirit. And the second thing which we see here is the fourth verse. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So the mourning is a grief or sorrow or going through some kind of a suffering or a persecution, tribulation, not for their own mistakes, but also for the things of God. But if anybody is under grief and sorrow, the Lord's promise for them was they will be comforted. And the comfort, the word is, it is coming from the root word paraclete. Paraclete, if you read Book of Acts, and also in John's Gospel, chapter 14, 15, 16, the Lord said, and when I go, I will send you a comforter. It is the same meaning, a Holy Spirit, the comforter. It is, in Greek, it is called paraclete. It is actually, in English language, the proper translation was not, they were not able to give. The meaning is, the one who has called for an aid, or I have written down here, in, I will read that for you. Called to one's aid, that is the meaning of paraclete or comfort. Or in some other places, consolation, it was translated. And also translated as exhortation. So it is the proper meaning, if we need to translate that word, it is called to one's aid or help. And that is the meaning. And it is also, if you want to properly understand that one, we can read Book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. In my translation, it is written comforter. With the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So what does the advocate do? That he will plead on our behalf. Or he will come to us as an aid in a time of trouble or need. That is the meaning of it. So now when we go back to our portion which we read, so blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So in the scripture we see there are people who has gone away from God, then God has called them to come back to them and grieve over their sin, and the Lord comforted them. And there are people who has mourned for the sins of others. And the Lord heard their cry and comforted them by healing or turning the hearts of the people from their sins. And there are people who went through the suffering for the sake of others, and not seeking any comfort from man, but God. And there are different people who went through the tribulation and came out, and the Lord comforted them. In all these places, one thing which is very common is, in the scripture what we were going to see, is the Lord who is going to comfort. So when any grief or sorrow which comes upon us, either by our sins or mistakes or somebody else, human heart is always immediately looking for a kind of a comfort from other people. But the portion which we read now, the blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It is God who is going to comfort them. But human heart always seeks a comfort from fellow human. But these are the people who actually, the God's promise is that God will comfort them. But in the Old Testament, God has come down and spoken to them through the prophets and comforted their hearts. But in the New Testament, the comfort is going to come through the Holy Spirit whom God has given to us. And Holy Spirit communicates to our spirit and brings comfort. That is, God is going to take care of this situation, restore, brings the relationship, brings good, and we will be good. And where without any mourning, there is no comfort also. So as we now going to see the few verses, where there is a mourning, and God's comfort came to them. So we see that when in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, in the Old Testament, verses 2 and 3, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness. So this is a prophecy regarding the nation Israel. The Lord is going to come and restore their lives before he establishes the kingdom upon the earth. And the remnant of the nation will turn to him. And whatever they have undergone, the Lord will take care of that. And he will restore them and comfort them before, because of their mourning. And the Lord will re-establish, because he said in verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. So those are the people and the condition of those people. And those people are going to be comforted at the coming of the Lord, because that is going to be a terrible condition for the nation Israel before the coming of the Lord. The judgments are falling upon, and many of the people gone to apostasy and not believing true God and making a league with the Antichrist. But the remnant of the people will be comforted by the Lord, and he will take care of them, and he will release them from the prison, and they will be comforted by God himself. And we also see in another place, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. I'll read from verses 4 to 7. Who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall also ye so shall ye be also of the consolation. So in these verses, Paul was referring what has happened to him while he was in Ephesus. So he was almost killed, but the Lord delivered him, and the Lord also not only delivered but also comforted him. And whatever he suffered for the sake of the Lord, and correspondingly the comfort also he received from the Lord. So that comfort, he says, with that comfort we will also be able to comfort if there is anyone who was going through the trouble. So now, not only there in the book of Isaiah, God was comforting the nation Israel. And here we see a man of God who went through the suffering for the sake of the Lord. And when he was comforted, now he is in a position to comfort with the same kind of a comfort those who are in need of comfort. So if a man has to really comfort anyone, and assume the responsibility of showing forth the comfort those who are in need of that, or mourning, or in trouble, or sorrow, then that person should have had the experience how he went through and the Lord comforted them. Other than that, humanly, without the experience of the Lord, tasting the comfort from Lord, whatever we do, that may not be really bringing any comfort to the heart, which is being grieved in the matters of the Lord. So we see that in the life of Paul. And we also see in book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting comfort, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. So this chapter, if you read the whole chapter, it speaks of the Lord's coming. And at that time, the situation, how it is all going to prevail, is very terrible. And most of the things which are going to the end times, the Antichrist appearing, the remainder of the believers will undergo the trouble. And in that regard, the Lord, Paul was talking to them that the Lord will comfort you. And we also see book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted that thou art tormented. But it is not just to take that one because the Lazarus was a poor man, he is being comforted here. But it is whatever the condition God allowed in the life of Lazarus, and he has very gladly accepted. And he bore the things. For example, he was at the gate of the rich man's house. The rich man was every day enjoying sumptuous meals and very wonderful, nice, fine clothes. But one thing God would have definitely seen in the heart of Lazarus, he never coveted anything, the riches of the rich man. Nor he never felt anything in his heart, why does not the rich man share anything with me, though I am at the gate of his house, and he knew about me, but he never bothers to share even a single meal with me. But that was not the heart of the Lazarus. Otherwise, he would not have been at the bosom of the Abraham. His heart condition was, and the Lord allowed me in this situation, I would gladly take it. And my heart will be, and my situation will be, the Lord will look into that, and in his time, he will comfort. So in our lifetime, whatever the situation which the Lord would allow us to go through, so sometimes very adverse situations and very suffering, but in all those things, but when we really maintain that good conscience towards God, and men both, and maintained that kind of a fineness towards God and men both without having any complaining and grumbling, and the real comfort will be there at the bosom of the Abraham in paradise. And when we are losing that opportunity, when God brings us into the adverse situations, and the way we react and looking for something and changing the equilibrium of the harmony of the heavens in our hearts, then the comfort we are missing there in the heavens or comforting coming from God. So a heart which is quickened in the spirit, exercise faith towards God, accept every situation and looks for a comfort in this life and also in the future life only from God. And that is a beautiful state of the heart. And when every time, when for every given situation, the way we respond is correspondingly depending upon how we will be comforted from God. So many times, though there are situations which we fall and we do not want to be found in that, but yet we do not taste the comfort of God because our heart condition is not actually in sync with what God intended for our lives. That is the problem. Then we come to Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 17. Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So here we see the Lord comforting them by wiping away the tears of them. Now, one group of people were already raptured to the throne of God. And after that, there was a war in the heavens with Michael and his angels and the Satan and his angels. And the Satan and his angels were cast down upon the earth. Then the tribulation began. And during that tribulation, and those who suffered a tribulation and found right in the presence, in the sight of the Lord, they were also brought up to the heavenly places. And when they came, they were asking, verse 14 and 13, and one of the elders answered and saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence they came they? So white robes speaks of acceptable life in the presence of the Lord. And verse 14, and I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So once they reach to the throne of God, and now they have the privilege proclaimed by the heavenly places that they are going to serve in the temple of God. And why there is the tears and why God has to wipe them off. And I'm saying that we see here is some people now in the middle of the tribulation, during the tribulation, and when they were ready and God took them, and they were found before the throne of God. And now we see there were tears on their eyes, and then God has wiped them off. So whatever the tribulation they went through, when they went up, like Lazarus, they were also comforted in that place by God himself wiping away their tears. So in heavens, why there is a tears And God has to wipe them off. So before them, there is another batch of people who were raptured before the tribulation began. And they have missed that opportunity. And now, during the tribulation, they went through the tribulation and they reached there. From God's side, God was telling, now, and you came here, and whatever you went through, and I am giving you the comfort. But they are saying, and why did we not live before that kind of a life, that without even entering into the tribulation, we should have gone? We missed that blessed privilege properly. Now that was, we missed it. And for that one, they were feeling, and there were tears in their eyes. And also, the joy was there. Now we have been accepted. And God himself is going to take away or wipe away all the tears. So for us, when every suffering or the tribulation or comes, and the mourning comes because of those things, if Lord wants to use them for the perfection of the saints who are found in the heavenly before the throne of God, and we should never find how we can avoid these situations, or we should never have a heart, and how that kind of complaining or murmuring or looking at the present problem in a different then we see another group of people, Revelation chapter 21, and reading verses 1 to 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So all the negative things like death, sorrow, crying, which are all types, part of that mourning, will not be any more there. Then God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In book of Revelation chapter 7 verse 17, what we have seen, there also God wiping away their tears and comforting them. Now they came through the tribulation, and that has happening before the 1,000 years rule began. And in verse chapter 21, it is happening after the 100,000 years rule. The new heaven and the new earth will appear only after the Lord ruled over Jerusalem upon the earth for 1,000 years, then the new heaven and the new earth will come. And when the new heaven and the new earth come, and all the glorious people will also come down. So we should see, before that new heaven and the new earth come, there are one group of people, the first fruits appeared before the Lord. There are other people who went through the tribulation and went to heavenly realm. And there are another group of people who met the Lord in the heavenly realm. And also the first resurrection people. All these groups of people were found ruling along with the Lord in the millennial kingdom. But in the 21 chapter 21, we see those who are believers but not counted worthy to rule with the Lord were also there with him now. Because after 1,000 years, all the believers, whether they are overcomers or not overcomers, everybody was found with the Lord. And at that time, those who are not found in the millennial kingdom, and are now found with the Lord in the eternal kingdom, and they would be missing out, they would be feeling that this is what the glory which we have missed out. And now the Lord has brought us out from that power of the death, because had they lived an overcoming life, the gates of the Hades would not have stopped them. Because they did not live an overcoming life, death has still kept them. And after only millennial period, they could come out. And that kind of a joy, what the privileges and the authority, the glory which was missed out for 1,000 years in their hearts. And because of that, there are tears. And those things also God will wipe away and will tell them, now that is all over. And the new dispensation of the glorious kingdom of God will appear. And I will be with you and you will be with me. So when any kind of a mourning or a difficulty or sorrow which comes upon us, and the way we take and react and look unto the Lord for his comfort, and use every situation that we may be comforted of God now and also in the later days, and that will be a great blessing for us. When we are now only looking a temporary relief, either from a hand of a man or by our own efforts, then we are missing out what is really the consolation, or God coming to our aid and taking us out and preparing us for the future glory. So we should be always conscious of that. And we should not rush into, by our human efforts and measures, to come out of that any situation, what the enemy wanted to create for us, but always looking unto the Lord for the Lord's comfort. Sometimes it may go through for a longer time, but that is all the preparation and to participate in the coming glory. And the Lord coming to our aid and leading us and guiding us. So for today, we will stop here.